every Friday night after the League of Ireland games, a place for you to come to give your opinion, to vent. And there's a little button down on the left-hand corner where you can say that you want to talk.
Catch League of Ireland Late Night, Friday nights at 10 on Twitter Spaces. Follow at Off the Ball.
Brian Carr, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, how are we doing?
Are you saving the celebrations of the weekend or were you giving it a big one last night?
Sorry, I'm just missing a bit there, Adrian, at the sound at my end.
It might be selective hearing, but I'm saying happy birthday to you.
All right, okay. Well, I think we let that one just move on. We got through yesterday.
Not a discussion point. We're all in the same boat. But listen, many happy returns to you. Kamir, is this the first Premier League game that you will have been back at since the pandemic?
Yeah, it'll be 2 years exactly. The last game we were at was on the 8th of March 2020 with Manchester United and Manchester City. United won 2-0, and it was a very good game. It was a very strange day. I remember it was when COVID was more or less in its infancy in Ireland and England, but the danger signs were already there. And I remember going to the game very well, that we were masked up and taking the precautions necessary and lots of hand sanitizer with us and doing all the things we were told to do shortly after that, let's say, an extreme way. Well, I remember when we got to England, and particularly when we got to the game and got to the media room, people were very nonchalant about their approach over there. And the media room at Old Trafford is a very tight area. It's not a very big room. It should be much bigger given the coverage and the interest that there is in Manchester United. Obviously, that day it was particularly busy with the derby match. The room was packed. We were in early and got reasonable places. But I always remember how loose people were compared to how we were. How we were already saying, look, this is really dangerous and we need to take precautions and we need to wear masks and we need to be using hand sanitizer and so on. And where their attitude seemed to be, oh, this won't get us, we're fine, this will be grand. And it didn't turn out that way for them or for anyone else. We're in a very short period after that, things had deteriorated really, really badly. But the game on the day was a good game. Manchester United surprise winners. They won 2-0. Bruno Fernandes chipped the ball over a wall to the right-hand side, the Man City goal. It was a very clever free kick, and Martial caught it coming over his shoulder and stuck it into the net. And I think Martial, he's gone obviously now, where he's out alone. And the second goal was laid on McTominay, where Ederson tried to pick out a Man City player in the middle of the pitch and miskicked it. And Tominey got onto it and scored from a long way out. Ederson was out of the goal. And that's kind of how the game was. Things haven't probably changed dramatically since then. Adrian, Manchester United were in sixth place that day. There was 27 matches gone. Manchester City were in second place. They were a long way. I think they were 22 points behind Liverpool with a game in hand at that stage. And then we had a whole very disjointed remainder of that season when the game stopped shortly afterwards. And there was no games again until June in the Premier League. And then, of course, there was no crowds when the games did come back. So it will be a much different situation this week. Thankfully, crowds will be back. There'll be massive crowd, obviously, at Manchester City. And let's hope we get a great game.
Yeah, very hard to tell. I know, like, you referenced the game 2 years ago. Even if you referenced the game in November, the 2-0 win the other way, and it felt like much more than a 2-0 win, but... like, very hard to know, Brian. It's in terms of trying to predict this game, they're unpredictable at the best of times, but just given, obviously United have a new manager, but just given the variables, certainly on the United side, like, it's hard to get a sense of how the game is going to go on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, they've been very inconsistent. We initially saw some seemed to be a little bit of progress under Ralph Raniak. Then it seemed to drop off a bit. Now it's, look, it's really, it's hard to know. I think they're in a funny place at the moment, Manchester United. They've 8 games unbeaten, but they've won 4 and drawn 4. So that's not great, you know. Mm. It'd be better off winning 6 and losing 2 than winning 4 and drawing 4, depending on who the 2 losses would have been to. But last week, again, you know, lots of the ball against Watford, loads of chances, but didn't fail to score. A bit unusually for Manchester United. Usually, you get a reward when it's late in the game, in injury time or the old Fergie time, whatever it is. But they couldn't get a goal. And, you know, you add in other draws, draw with Southampton with their leading, draw away to Burnley, draw away to Aston Villa, losing the cup game with Middlesbrough on penalties, getting knocked out of the cup. Meant they've had a free week, I suppose, for training this week, which might help them in terms of the City game in particular. But overall, they're in a state of flux, I suppose, and uncertainty about who's going to be the manager next year. Is it going to be Pochettino? Is it going to be Ten Hag? Or is it going to be a surprise appointment? I saw yesterday a lot of discussion about, or suggestion in the paper, that Ancelotti could be in the running, even though Real Madrid are winning the league at the moment. Or is there going to be they're going to pull someone else out of the bag? You know, players wise as well, uncertainty about the future of lots of the players, obviously the likes of Ronaldo, Cavani, Martial, there's probably a few more, Pogba, most obvious one, the middle of the pitch, and several other players, I'd say. But it'll depend on who eventually gets to be the manager and whether Raniak stays on in the role. He's supposed to have another 2 years to be in an advisory role. We'll see if that comes about. But, you know, it's a difficult time for Manchester United fans. They're in fourth place at the moment, trying to chase the Champions League positions. 2 points ahead of Arsenal and West Ham, but Arsenal have 3 games in hand, 5 ahead of Spurs. So they're certainly a lot to do in the last 11 games of the season. They need a good run, which they had 2 years ago after that Manchester City game. They had quite a good run because, as I said, they were in sixth place that day and they ended up at the end of the season in third place on 66 points, 33 points behind Liverpool, as it happened at the end. But, you know, they need a very good run between now and the end of the season to confirm a Champions League place, but at least they still are going in the Champions League second leg of against Atletico Madrid coming up the week after next. Which, you know, they at home they should be Atletico Madrid, but maybe not. Atletico are showed in the first game they're still a very, very difficult side to play against, and they completely disrupted Manchester United's rhythm on the night. You know, they didn't play well for the first hour of the game. Eventually they got themselves a goal, but overall they were fortunate to get the draw. So they needed to continue going. They needed to continue in the Champions League this season, but they're certainly not guaranteed the top 4 spot next year. City, on the other hand, look like they will win the league this year, but there's been a bit of hope for the others. The fact that they dropped 5 points lately, that defeat to Spurs was a big surprise, extraordinary game, and the draw with Southampton. But other than that, they've been relentless. Liverpool are in great form, have made up 5 points. When Manchester City dropped those points, Liverpool won. But they're 6 points behind. They've a difficult match against West Ham this weekend. It's hard for Liverpool to stay at the pace that Manchester City are at. But this is another game where obviously Liverpool supporters and Liverpool club will be hoping City drop points.
What would you do with Ronaldo, Brian, since you mentioned him? Like, the one reason for keeping him in the team has totally deserted him, his goals over the last 9 or 10 weeks. Is it unthinkable that he gets dropped this weekend, or is it almost, does he almost have to?
Does he have to play or does drop he have him. To be dropped? I think the fact that Cavani is injured at the moment makes it easier for the manager, for Ralph Raniak, to leave him out. I mean, he left him out a few weeks ago and there was a whole furore around it. And I think I said after the commentary match for Manchester United and Leeds 2 weeks ago, when United came back or Leeds come back from 2-0 down, United, ultimately won 4-2, that when he was last left out of the team, he sat on the bench with a face like a robber's dog. He doesn't look like he's a great team player in that situation. But given Cavani has been injured, and I don't think he's available for selection at the moment for this weekend, it looks like Ronaldo will play again. I mean, I wouldn't be overcritical of the front players that didn't score the goals last week, but they should have. I mean, they got something like 22 shots on goal and numerous clear-cut chances, and they didn't take them. But I think he'd play in this game. I do think Ronaldo will play in the City game.
And come good?
Well, the law of averages, he doesn't generally go for long periods without goals. He's not like a streak centre forward who has streaks of goals, like in twos and threes and the odd one, and then goes quiet for a few matches. I mean, Ronaldo's whole career has been just the consistency of his goal scoring. That's why people and managers, I suppose, have been prepared to allow him play in a different way to many modern teams now, where the expectancy is the centre forward. He's the first point of defence many, many ways, in that he leads off the press. Ronaldo doesn't do that. He makes a token effort at pressing at times. If the others join in, well and good, then he might have another goal. But sometimes he doesn't look like he's that committed to it, that his whole intent is about keeping, in the latter part of his career particularly, his whole intent is about conserving his energy, making sure that when the moment comes, he's ready to do the ultimate job and stick the ball in the net. So, I'm sure he will be as determined as anyone to do that. But against Manchester City, I mean, the style of Manchester City and the way opposition plays against them, Pep was asked recently how does he find the playing against opposition these days that most teams sit in, and he said, well, that's usually the way. There are very few teams that don't sit in and play with a low block, as it's described nowadays. I think he mentioned only Liverpool, Arsenal and Brighton are the teams that try to take them on. Right, that was interesting that he left Manchester United out of that. But I think that Manchester United have played on the counter-attack against City and been successful against them on a fairly regular basis. So I think that's how it will be. I think United will adapt their game, adapt their tactics a little bit. Whatever the system is, it'll be some formation. Whether it's three centre-backs, we'll have to wait and see whether it's Maguire, Lindelof and Varane all play as three centre-backs, or whether it's some system that's basically a 4-5-1 with Ronaldo as the centre-forward. It'll be some combination that, where the wide-ish players who would normally be in advanced positions, say the likes of Sancho, Rashford, those type of players will be expected to work deeper and harder more often, which is what they should be doing anyway. That's one of the big criticisms that most people have at Manchester United, that those players don't do enough when the opposition have the ball, and they don't work hard enough to retrieve it. They don't work hard enough to protect the full backs, Wan-Bissaka and Luke Shaw or whoever it is, whether it's Dalot on the right side, the right back position. But they don't do enough.
Brian, can I just ask you about Tottenham before we wrap? They're playing not until Monday night, but it was another defeat for them midweek, this time in the FA Cup. You didn't have as dramatic a reaction from Antonio Conte as we did the week before when they lost to Burnley, when he said maybe he's not good enough, maybe I'm not good enough to take this team to the top. But is that just because of the FA Cup this week, or do you think he's just run out of almost places to go in terms of his dramatic quotes in the aftermath of the match, that it didn't seem as severe?
I'd say he looks a very frustrated figure, particularly when the game is going against him in matches. He's the ultimate hot wire on the line when his team are in the match. I've always noticed that about him over the years, watching him when he was at Chelsea in particular. When the game is going well and they're in the game and they're in with a chance, he's directing everything on the touchline, he's moving the players about, he's constantly pointing and trying to pull players into specific positions. But I always noticed with him, when the game started to drift away on them, when they were a goal or two behind, he's much less active on the touchline. It's almost like he loses heart very quickly. And I think that transfers to the team. But looking at him at Spurs, it's been such an up and down time. Initially, they went, I think, 8-9 games undefeated when they went in all competitions. And then it started slipping away. There was a lot of those games were draws as well. But now it's now I think he is seeing the kind of the ultimate with Spurs again. I mean, losing to Middlesbrough. The only thing you could say, they were well forewarned with Middlesbrough having beaten Manchester United on penalties in the cup, and it was, you know, it's the only competition they could have won now. You know, they went out tamely out of Europe, be it that it was the Conference League. You know, they went tamely. They weren't good in the group anyway, and then they needed to win, to beat Rennes in the last match by a number of goals to get through, and that match didn't get played. And UEFA decided to throw them out. So there would have been no doubt that his concentration. I look at the team he picked. I think it was the best team as far as he was concerned that he could have picked the other night for the Middlesbrough match. It was more or less, I think, the same team that beat Leeds the previous week. And when they played well against Leeds last weekend, they won 4-0, got off to a great start, played with great intent. Matt Doherty scores an early goal, and so on. But they never really looked the part. That doesn't Lloris, there's doubts about Lloris, the three centre backs that he's playing, Dyer back in the side, you're thinking they're a little bit better, but not much better. Romero hasn't really settled into the Premier League or English football yet, and great hopes for him when he came from Atalanta. Ben Davies, really a left back playing as one of the three centre halves, struggling to get consistency from the wing backs. Reguilón, the big signing for them, hasn't been good enough as a defender. On the other side, Emerson Royal, the same. Matt Doherty seemed to be slightly back in favour now. But, you know, is he a great defensive right back? Probably, I would say not. His best qualities are in the attacking side of his game. Middle of the field, can't find a really reliable pairing in there. So it just goes on and on. I mean, the thing for Spurs and for Spurs supporters and for Daniel Levy and everyone else is, will he still stay? Will he stay on Conte at the end of the season? And will the Spurs, will Daniel Levy basically back him to bring in the type of players he wants that will make the impact on the team? The two Juventus players, Kulusevski, Bentancur, have had a little bit of influence, but not a major influence. I mean, if they were top players, Juventus wouldn't have been letting them go to Spurs. That's how I view it. I think both of them are good players. Both of them have potential to do better. They probably both need settling in time, but Spurs needed results. They need results now. They're a good bit off, I think, in things about, they're down to 7 now. Arsenal's form would put Spurs in a difficult position as regards to fourth place. Manchester United are obviously there at the moment. Spurs are a good bit short of that. They need to be very consistent over the last 11 games. They probably need to get something like 26 or 27 points to get into the top four. I don't see them doing that. And then with Conte stay around for next year, if Spurs are in the Europa League or the Conference League or not in Europe at all, it's hard to imagine. I'm sure there'll be better offers, or there will be offers for them. I'm sure plenty of the top Italian clubs would have him back, no bother. Yeah. Or, you know, so it could be another difficult and interesting summer for Spurs.
Very briefly, Brian, before we let you off, the rocky start for Pats doesn't come much bigger than tonight, though.
Yeah, big game. It's not been a good few days for them. Started well with the victory over Shells. Yeah. And then obviously lost two games. Sligo were the better team on Friday night at Richmond Park. Bowles, the match was quite even on Monday night. Wasn't much between the two sides. Good goal for Young Mallon. Bad mistake by Scott, the player on loan for Wolves in the right back position. But massive game. And, you know, they were very close games with Shamrock Rovers last year. Rovers got the edge in three of them. Narrow victories. The other one was drawn. But a big match for both clubs tonight. Rovers have already lost the last away game to Derry. They've got 6 points, so they, you know, they need a win as well. But you know, look, overall, I just hope the league is more competitive this year, that there's more teams contention. Other than St. Pat's and Sligo to a degree last year, there was no real challenge on Shamrock Rovers. They won the league very convincingly. Once they beat Pats in the early game in the forward series of matches, it was more or less Rovers' title. I hope we have a much better contest all round for the league. And I'm hopeful that that's the case. I think that there's a good few other teams that are in better nick than they were last year. But for St. Pat's and Tim Clancy, it's an awkward time with the change. So many new players in at the back. They've played some good football in the game so far this year. And there's some very promising players there. And I'm hoping for an entertaining game tonight in the packed Richmond Park.